John's Gospel, chapter 1. The Gospel of John is the fourth book in the New Testament of the Word of God, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We encourage you to make use of the Bibles that are in the pews in front of you, the red Bibles, to follow along in the reading of the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. May the Lord bless His Word to our hearts this morning. And please, with your Bibles open, let's just seek for the Lord's help as we come to His Word now. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee this morning that we know whom we have believed, and we are persuaded that Thou art able to keep that which we have committed unto Thee against that day of our salvation. Our Father, we lift our hearts this morning in true thanksgiving for all Thou hast done for us. We are a blessed people. We thank Thee, Lord, for our Savior this morning. We pray that He will be exalted in our meeting. We pray that Christ will be seen and that no others will be seen. We ask, Lord, that especially for any in our meeting who are still outside of a knowledge of Christ, they don't know the Lord. I pray this day that the Holy Ghost would come and would open the Scriptures to their hearts and bring them to a personal understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, give us help today, we pray. Give us joy in our hearts for those of us who know Him. Let us rejoice again for Thy so great salvation. We are blessed beyond measure. Father, hear our prayer this day. Glorify Thy Son, for we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. There is a great blessing in human relationships. There are tremendous blessings as we think of the bond there is between a husband and a wife, a relationship that has been formed and has been blessed by the presence of God in the home. There is a unity in that relationship that is a very blessed unity in that relationship. There is a blessing in the relationship that a father has with a son and daughter. Blessings that a mother has with her daughter and her sons. There is a blessing to have a relationship that is in harmony between siblings in the home. The brothers and the sisters. The brothers and the brothers. And the sisters and the sisters. Relationships in our human experiences are means of encouraging and blessing us in so many ways. To have a friend that you are able to go to in the time of your need and express your heart to that friend because you have a bond with them is a very special thing. But my friend, this morning, I want to talk to you about a relationship that is far greater. A relationship of far greater importance. And that is your relationship with God in heaven. I want to speak to you this morning about obtaining a relationship with God. The words I want to draw your attention to are found in the 12th verse of John's Gospel, chapter 1. It says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." We are all born into this world as sinners. And because we are born as sinners, the relationships that we endeavor to be involved with are going to be tainted and influenced because of that sin. And as blessed as a relationship between a husband and wife can be and should be, because of our own sinful hearts, because of the pride of our heart and our own willfulness, oftentimes we will influence that relationship in a negative way. And because of that, we bring great discomfort and we bring disunity into our own relationships. And the sad thing is that because of our own sinful hearts, that relationship that once man had with God in the Garden of Eden has also been broken. Adam, that knew God in a very personal and intimate way, when he sinned against God, broke that relationship. And so therefore, all of us being in Adam sinned in him. We sinned with him. In reality, you cannot blame Adam for the fall of mankind alone, because you and I are actually in him. We were all part of that humanity that was in Adam. When that relationship was broken, it caused man to lose out with God. Man was cut off from the Lord. A relationship that once he had, being in unity with the Lord, was broken to such a degree that God is in heaven and man upon earth, and the great gulf of sin that separates between man and God. My friend, if you are here this morning in this service and you are without Christ, you have a great gulf, a great chasm that is between you and God. But I want to talk to you this morning about how that relationship can be mended. How that relationship can be established so that you can know whom to thank for all that you have. How desperate it must be to meander through life in such a confusion that you observe and see the beauty of nature, but you do not know who has made, who has created. You have no idea or perception of who to thank. Oh, my friend, this morning, this very day, you can know in your own life the experience of having a relationship with God. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Here, my friend, is the supreme relationship that is given to man. There is no relationship that is higher than the relationship that a man will have with his God. It is the supreme relationship. It is a truth that goes beyond our capability of both comprehending and trying to explain. John, in his epistle, said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. That you should be called the daughter of God. You who are born in sin, you and I who are overcome with such evil, God has made a way that we are able to be joined back to Him again into the most blessed, the highest, the greatest relationship that we can have. Joining the family of God is a relationship that means we are made partakers of the divine nature. Thus, this means that God has given to us His holy nature, and it has become a part of us as human beings. We are made partakers of this divine nature by the operation and the work of God's Spirit. What else is there in this supreme relationship? It is that we have been brought into an inheritance. An inheritance that God gives to us that is incorruptible. An inheritance that is unchangeable. An inheritance that is undefiled and that fadeth not away. Indeed, the Lord in a parable told us that we are to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and thieves do not break through and steal. Because the inheritance that we will lay up with God in heaven cannot be corroded. And God has given to us a spiritual inheritance, a relationship with Him that can never be eroded or rusted away. It does not deteriorate. It does not go away. It is unchangeable. Things in this life we know only too well change. And they change often not for the better, but they change for the worse. And that degeneration, that evolving in the negative sense, is something that each one of us as human beings have to deal with. But my friend, the relationship that God promises in His Word is not something that corrodes. It is something that improves in the sense that we will never be able to plumb the depths or expand the heights of the relationship that God has given to His people. There are blessings innumerable, priceless blessings that you and I possess this very day. For in the book of Ephesians, we are told that God has given to us spiritual blessings reserved for us in heavenly places. They are already set there, and God has provided them for us. And they are provided because of our relationship with Him. Let me ask you very directly today, my friend, do you have a relationship with God? Do you possess the knowledge that you belong to God and that He belongs to you? What I'm saying to you today is the most basic of gospel applications. We must know that we have this relationship with God if we are ever going to see Him. And the reason, because if we remain in our sin, we will be separated from Him for all eternity. Do you have this very day, and do you know that you have a relationship with God? You know, some people think that they are all the sons of God because of creation. Because God, they believe, is the creator of all things. And therefore, because God is the creator of all humanity, then necessarily you are a son or a daughter of God. And that may be true in relation to our creation, but my friend, it is not true in relation to our spiritual life with God. For we all stand today under the wrath of God when we are in our sin. Because of our disobedience, because of our sin. And the Lord said unto the Pharisees, ye are of your father the devil, and his works ye will do. In our own sinful state, you and I are of another family. We are of the family that is totally opposite to what the Lord and who He is. My friend, do not make any mistake today. The supreme relationship that is given to man is that you and I can be a part of Him, a part of Him spiritually. To know that we belong to Him and that He belongs to us. We must have this relationship. Now, secondly, please notice, how is this relationship going to be obtained? How then does one become a member of God's family? Well, how is it that you become a member of any family? Well, there are two ways. You are either born into a family, and you have by blood a relationship with mother and father, or else it is by adoption. There are really only two ways that you are going to become part of a human family. And my friend, the same applies to us in the spiritual sense. For the Lord Jesus, when He spoke to Nicodemus, the man who came to the Lord by night because he was afraid of what others thought. And he came to speak to the Lord Jesus when he was on earth. And he asked him, saying, "Good Master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except he be sent from God." And the Lord immediately interrupted Nicodemus and he told him, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." My friend, in order to have this ultimate relationship with God, it is going to be by what is called the new birth, by being born again of the Spirit of God. Nicodemus was very puzzled when the Lord said that to him, and he said, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Of course, that was an impossibility. And the Lord went on to explain to Nicodemus, "I am talking here about a spiritual birth. For he says, except a man be born of water, which is the physical birth, and be born of the Spirit, which is that heavenly rebirth, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." My friend, you need to be born again of the Spirit of God. You need to know what it is to have that spiritual rebirth. To become a son or a daughter of God, our text tells us that we must receive and believe on His name. Now, what does it mean to receive God or receive Christ? Sometimes those terms are used and people may be a little bit confused. What does it mean? What is it to receive Jesus Christ? Well, let me tell you what it is not. It is not to receive some kind of doctrine. It is not a creed. It is not signing a piece of paper to become a member of a local church or some institution. It is not the keeping of the Ten Commandments. It is certainly not baptism. And all this struck us again as we went down to Jamaica and we were speaking with different people. And the same response came over and over again. Brother Middleton and I were speaking with two young fellows in the town of Negril. And we asked them, "What is a Christian?" And they stopped for a minute, they thought, and they said, "A Christian is someone who has been baptized." And so we began to explain to them that your baptism does not get you into a relationship with God. But this is what has been taught. It's probably a legacy of the influence of the Anglican Church, of the baptizing of infants. And the idea that to be baptized is what brings you into a relationship with God. But that is completely without the scriptural base. For the Lord Jesus Christ made it clear that except a man is born again of the Spirit of God, he cannot enter into his kingdom. And we talked to other people, and the response was the same over and over again. Well, I'm baptized. And therefore, their baptism, they think, will bring them into a relationship with God. My friend, baptism will not save you from your sins. It is only by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is the only way that you can come into a relationship with Him. Now, the word receive in our text, it means to get a hold of. Really, to reach out and to take hold of, to receive. And when we're thinking about that in a practical or physical way, you would reach out your hand to receive something that was given to you. In the spiritual sense, we reach out our hand by faith and we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we think about receiving Him, it is believing on Him. It is believing on the entire Christ. It's not just part of His work. It is believing that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. And as God Himself, He is not a created being. There are many cults that believe that Jesus is not God, but He is a created being of God. When the Lord came and was born in Bethlehem, the angel told Mary and Joseph that His name was Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah 7 and 14. The Lord Jesus Christ is God Himself. And being God, He was able to come down in His perfection, joined with humanity to become the Savior of this world. Some people believe that He became the Son of God when He was born in Bethlehem, or He became the Son of God when He was baptized, or He became the Son of God in His transfiguration, or His resurrection or ascension. And there are people who believe that He is not eternally the Son of God, but at some point in time He became the Son. But my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is not exalted to become the Son of God, but He is exalted because He is the Son of God. And we must receive Him in all His glory and beauty as God's eternal Son. But in receiving Christ, according to our text, it is not only receiving Him as the eternal Son, but it's receiving Him as the only Savior. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Oh, there are many that come to impose themselves as being mediators between God and men, between God and Christ. Mary is put forward as being a co-mediatrix, one who will come between Christ and us to bring our petitions to the Lord. But the Bible speaks nothing of that. The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy tells us there is one God and one mediator between God and men. He is the man Christ Jesus. And if we are ever going to come to God, we must come to receive Jesus Christ as the eternal Son and as the only Savior. But my friend, you must receive Him as your Savior. He has to be personal to you. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is the promise that God has given to us. The Catechism says the only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the eternal Son of God, became man and continueth to be God and man in two distinct natures and one person. We must receive Him as God's eternal Son, as the only Savior. And my friend, this very day, to receive Him as your Savior. Romans 8 and verse 15 tells us, "But ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." I want you to notice that this is the second aspect in human relationships that we can become part of a family. It's by being adopted into that family. And in the spiritual sense, we are both born and we are adopted. For God has brought us into that relationship with Him through His only begotten Son. And we are brought in to inherit all of the legal rights of sonship with our Heavenly Father. Therefore, adoption in the spiritual sense relates to those who are begotten or born of God, who are made partakers of the divine nature. And we are not just appended onto God's family. We're not sort of outsiders that stick on, but we are those who have been received in. Friend, this morning, have you been received into God's family? Because if so, then you are children and you are heirs. And you are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. But what is the authority to have such a relationship? Please turn back to 1 John, or John 1 and verse 12. It says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power." The word power is the same word authority or privilege. And so some might ask the question, well, how is it that you and I as human beings have the right, have any warrant to think that we can become a child of God, a son of God? Why is it that we could do this? It's certainly nothing to do with us. We did not lay down the groundwork and say, upon this condition or upon that condition, we will then be welcomed into God's family. It is not a human condition. It is something that God Himself has initiated. He has formed the plan from the beginning. He has chosen us in His only begotten Son before the foundation of the world. And we are brought into that relationship upon the authority of God Himself. Many people today have false birth certificates. They're forged. They're not real. Some people come and try to impose themselves upon a will. And they try to be a part of an inheritance of someone who has passed away to capitalize on the real estate or the money. And they're untrue. They're not real people. They do not belong. They're not part of the family. And yet they come and they try to impose themselves. And spiritually, my friend, there are some people and they will try to impose themselves when they come to stand before the Lord as they belong to Him, as they're part of His family. In fact, Christ said the very thing when He will come to stand in judgment. There will be those who will say, "Lord, Lord, have we not done this in Thy name? And have we not done that in Thy name?" And the Lord will respond to them, "Depart from me, I never knew you. You are not part of my family. You were never brought into a saving relationship through my Son." My friend, you cannot afford to come to the Lord under such a pretense. The whole key to our relationship with God is based upon the authority that He has given to us. And He has come to say, this authority, this answer, it is given through the power, because Christ Himself is the final arbiter. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if Jesus has come to say, I give you my authority and my power, and He comes to give it, it's not something that we will manufacture. It's a gift that He is giving. For He gave the authority. And He comes this day to give to you the authority, the opportunity, the great gift, and you must receive it as a gift. The gift of God's everlasting life. And as we conclude this morning, He gave it to as many as would receive Him. And there are many in our congregation this morning, and there are many of you who know this relationship because you have sealed this question many, many years ago. But there are some of you, and you're still questioning. You're still uncertain. You don't know if you have this relationship with God. You can know today. For as many as received Him, as many as repented and believed on Jesus Christ, God gave to them the authority to become the sons of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, the gospel message is full and it is free and it is open for you to receive this very day. What is it that holds you back? I spoke to a young man this past week. He was about 20 years of age. He had been a part of the church and Sunday school in Jamaica for 14 years. From a little fellow. And I looked at him and I said to him, are you a believer? And he said, no, sir, I am not. Very open and very honest. He knew that he was not a believer. And I said to my friend, you know the way of salvation. What is it that holds you back from trusting in Christ? What is it that holds you back from receiving Him as your Savior? And he just kind of hung his head and said, well, maybe my friends. He didn't want to look uncool. He didn't want to look as the odd person out among his friends. Maybe it's your response as well. Maybe it's friends or family or some other excuse. Those things will keep you out of heaven. But those things will not keep you out of hell. My friend, today is the day of salvation. The Lord has given you another opportunity. Today is a brand new opportunity for you. Today is the day of salvation. Do not put off what God has given for you this day. For as you receive Him, you will know that you will be brought into the greatest, the highest, the most sublime relationship that a human being can have, and that is to be part of the family of God. Let's bow in prayer. My friend, if the Lord has been speaking to your heart today, and if you would like to know more about this subject from His Word, then I invite you to wait behind after the service. We'll take time to speak to you and to show you from the Word of God, not to put any pressure on you at all, not to embarrass you in any way, but to lead you through the Scripture so that you can know that you have this relationship with Him. Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou would come and bless Thy Word this morning. Bless it, we pray, to every heart. Do not let anyone leave this meeting today without having this matter settled, and settled once and for all. Father, hear our prayers. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Would you please turn in your hymn book to number 4.